Welcome, artists, art lovers, and dreamers to Somewhere and Elsewhere, where we uncover stories from artists across the coastal region.
I'm Terrell Williams.
And I'm Kevin Leroy Green, your host here on the Shoresides program, Somewhere and Elsewhere. Today, we are with Ms. Kim Henry, who is the co-founder and executive artistic director of Theater for All. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Kim. Yay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. So I'm going to jump right in, I guess. Yeah. Could you please tell our listeners a bit about yourself and your background, like as well as your organization?
Well, that's a long story, but to try and be succinct, well, clearly I'm not a local. So I grew up in London, the UK, and theatre's always been my passion. Like so many of us, theatre has saved me again and again. And at some point in my late teens, early 20s, I realized that I wasn't cut out for the really hardcore competitive, we're all going to stab each other in the back and like kill ourselves part of the industry. But I knew I loved it. And I was also very passionate about all sorts of, about our world and people and stories and social justice. And I wanted to find ways to combine those two loves and throw in a bunch of travel because I, you know, there's such a big, beautiful world and I wanted to see it. So luckily I managed to find a way to combine those things. So community theatre and theatre to enhance people's lives and tell unheard stories and find new ways of communicating across all sorts of boundaries was my jam. And I was lucky enough to travel all over the place, Bosnia and India and all over Europe. And then my family, my kids and the father of my children ended up here in the beautiful sandy shores of Wilmington, NC. And I knew that I needed to do what I loved, and Theatre for All was born.
Wonderful. It is truly an amazing organization.
Oh, thank you. It is.
So what initially sparked your interest in this specific area?
I mean, very honestly, I don't have like a child or a cousin or a sister who has a disability. As I say, I've always enjoyed working with all sorts of communities that weren't heard. And I came on the board of Zach Hanna's then nonprofit Superstar Academy. And he his vision was to bring the arts to underserved communities. So one of them was youth. One of them was seniors, and then Dylan Patterson was really advocating for a disability branch. And I was really interested in that. Secretly, I wanted to meet the most interesting people on the town who would be wide open to try all sorts of crazy, weird stuff. Because as much as I love a good musical, don't get me wrong, I do. I'm into some crazy, weird stuff. And let's just keep pushing the boundaries and try something new and, you know, interesting perspectives and the way our minds work. And so I went into Laney High School and did a semester with a group of students with autism, and obviously they just blew me away. I mean, you it's a perspective and a life experience and stories that you literally can't make that up.
Yeah.
And the work we were creating was just so exciting, and it was nothing I could ever do alone. And it was really nothing I could ever do with a completely neurotypical group of people. So it was just so exciting, and to see the breadth of talent there. I mean, incredible talent that even their teachers, even their families, Some of the things that we unearthed, they were like, I had no idea that she could do that, or I had no idea that he could do that. And it was like, yes, because they weren't given the opportunity to really explore. So we then realized that, wow, we need to create an ongoing theater company for these guys. You know, Special Olympics is amazing, but it's not everyone. Sports, not everyone's jam. It wasn't mine. You know, so I always say, I look forward to us being the Special Olympics of the theatre world, so that people with disabilities who are born to perform, like you and I, have that opportunity.
Wow. Well, what pivotal moment or experience in your life significantly shaped who you are today? And how did you grow from it?
Oh, my goodness. Kevin, only you can ask that kind of question. That's the moment. Oof, pivotal moments.
Yes.
There's so many, obviously. I wanted to be an actress, like every young person born to perform, and I spent my teen years desperately trying to sing and dance and act and go to auditions and get my soul crushed and all the rest of it. And then at 18 I managed to save up enough to go to India, and this is pre-internet because I'm that old. So it's not like I'd seen loads of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I know my soul was just yearning for something very, very different to what I knew growing up in mainstream London. Mm. So my young know-it-all London self landed in Delhi at 18 and a half, and I obviously had my world absolutely turned upside down, and had an incredible experience there. I was there for about 10 months in Asia, and it just blew my mind and opened my eyes in so many unimaginable ways. And I realized I knew nothing, you know, I knew nothing about anything. And then honestly, I got to Australia after that, and it was my first time back in a Western country after 10 months. And I hadn't seen a movie in 10 months. I had a little stint with Bollywood, but that's another story. So I arrive in Australia. I'm like, I'm going to go see a movie. It's been so long. And there's this movie called Silence of the Lambs. Oh. And I know nothing about it. I'm like, oh, lambs, farming. Jodie Foster, love Jodie Foster, right? So I go and see this movie. And obviously, it just absolutely tears me apart. And it really it sort of consolidated my core knowing that I was not cut out for that. As amazing as that world is, and obviously there's profound works happening in that arena, I knew that that was not my calling, and that I needed to do work that I felt to be really important and life enhancing. Obviously in India, there's so much profound joy and so much suffering right next to each other on a daily basis, every second of the day. And I guess I kind of knew that I wanted to tap into both worlds. I mean, they're in all of us and it's a part of life, but that the joy, like let's move through the suffering to get to the joy. And obviously art can do that. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your program. What do you do?
All right, fun. Okay. So we now, at this wonderful point, after years and years, have two performance companies where we co-create our own shows with our people. So we're wanting to extract their passions, their ideas, their latest obsessions, and the things that they're really into, and piece it all together into a weird and wonderful piece of theatre that is compelling and funny and sad and moving and all the elements of great theatre. So, you know, we hold high artistic integrity. We want to keep creating new and interesting work. We never want someone to leave one of our shows and be like, oh, look what the disabled people can do. It's so sweet. Like, that is not our vibe. And honestly, we never get that reaction.
Well, I've been to your show, yeah. So I know for a fact you don't get that
right?
reaction.
Right? That's not the jam.
One thing I will always say, it's like, if y'all start a show, it's with the best energy. Like, we know it's going up from there. It's like, it's always a great explosion to start with you guys.
Yeah.
Because they are so committed to, like, giving an amazing performance. So you're like, I love y'all.
Yeah. I mean, they're having a great time up there, and that's contagious, isn't it?
Yes, very.
And obviously, not everyone. Some people are very nervous, like anyone. But some of our guys are fearless.
Yes.
And it reminds me at the beginning of every performance that I'm like, okay, we're going to have a good time. Like, it's terrifying in the way performing is, but we're also just humans on earth,
yep,
entertaining each other. Like,
exactly.
No one's, you know, it's not life or death right now. We have a choir, which is super fun. We're learning all sorts of songs from all sorts of traditions, and we're getting to perform it all over the place. And that's something I really wanted. People were beginning to say to us, hey, you could come and do this. You could come and do this. And I was like, well, we're in the middle of rehearsing a show, so I can't just whip together a little thing, a 10-minute thing to bring to you. So I was like, we need some stuff that we can just be out and about, be meeting mm-hmm. people. So we had a choir, and then we have a dance company, which, I mean, I love to dance. I'm not a trained dancer, but I've always loved to dance. It's you know, it's its own language, as I don't have to tell you. So those companies are great, and we're getting to go all over the place. And we have an outreach branch of our organization where we go into schools and we bring the arts to students with disabilities, because there's still so little available for them in the schools. Mm-hmm. And we also have summer camps, and we also have a program where we train our most experienced members to be teaching assistants. It's a one-year program. We call it the leadership training. And then they get to come back into the schools with us as performing arts teaching assistants and get paid.
Oh,
so
wow.
They actually, isn't that so
that
cool?
That is really good. Super
it's
cool.
Such a win-win-win. Because one day I was driving along and I was like, okay, I need more help. Mm. I need people who are passionate about theatre and have some experience of the disability community. To help me with the outreach program. Who's going to do both? Who's got both? And then I was like, obviously my people. We just need some training. And it's just so rewarding to see them having that opportunity to train in something they love, be paid for something they're good at, to be in a position of authority, to go back into school sometimes where they were students.
Oh, yeah.
And get to say, hey, this is, you know, look what I'm doing. Great for the other students to be like, wow, that person has autism, or that person's in a wheelchair, and they're not the greeter at Walmart. They're
showing
a teacher
options
here,
yeah.
You know, teaching and in this great position. So I love that. So it's a really fun part of what we're doing.
Well, how did you come to this work, and like, how is it, what has sustained you through it?
I mean, truly the members, mm-hmm. because as you know, nonprofit world is harsh at first. And I have no nonprofit background, full disclosure. Now that we're an amazingly well-oiled nonprofit, I can admit that. that at first it was like, what? We have to do this, and we got to mm-hmm. double check that and cross that, and you know, all the guarding of nonprofit world. I'm a bit like, we're the good guys, we're the ones making the world a better place, the corporation should be checked all, you know, left, right and center. But so there was a time that, you know, it was a lot of work. I was wearing 800 different caps, as you do. But I mean, truly, and I'm not being like, oh, we're all so amazing, but you know, every time I went into a classroom, even the days where I'm like, oh, I don't really want to be here, you know, back in the day we were like put in the school canteen. That was like my idea of hell, you know.
Yeah,
stinks, and there's people, you know, there's no privacy to really
people
explore the arts.
About
everyone's
around
moving
you.
Around, they're like, eating, cooking, there's clattering. It was like, this is not where the drama department, the other drama students, are doing their drama classes. I know that for sure. So it took a few years of advocating to be like, okay, we're going to do our theatre classes in the theatre, like every other theatre class, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the people, I mean, the people, mm-hmm. every single week, something happens that truly, that is just like, you know, the magic of theatre, the magic of expression and connection. Life enriching for me.
So I'm an audience member, right? And
right.
I show up to your show. What should I know about this work going in?
Know that it's co-created. Mm-hmm. So we never do like, we're doing Annie. So we like to create shows that really utilize and highlight some of the things that are very particular to our group of people. Mm-hmm. So you'll never see a show quite like ours, which as you've seen them, you'll know, you know. Other than that, really nothing. Like, come with your open mind, your open heart, and I mean, I could talk a lot about this. It's really interesting. It's so interesting to see what our audience comes to a show with. What are they expecting? Are they why? And then afterwards, how did they feel and why do they feel that? So there's an unconscious bias that gets shifted. Even the most open-minded, open-hearted, myself absolutely included, would be like, wow, I did not expect that to be so good. I mean, we get that again and again. We have an unconscious bias that people with disabilities are unable to do things.
Yeah.
And as we talked a little bit about before we started, a lot of people with disabilities, it is a disability in this world, because this world is not designed to elevate their life experience. There's a lot of obstacles, as simple as someone in a wheelchair, there aren't ramps. How are they going to get on that bus, on that train, you know, into that restaurant, up the steps to see that theater? How are they going to have a microphone at the right height? All those things. So there's basic practical things in the world that aren't designed to help them flourish. And therefore, it is a disability. They have to work that bit harder, like all sorts of minorities, right? But having said that, a lot of their personalities and their life experience and their talents and their passions and their ways of seeing the world, those things aren't a disability. Those things can teach the neurotypical community 3 million lessons. I mean, you know, I've kind of lost. Oh, that we can create very different kinds of theater, rather than trying to create theater that conforms to our norms. So just kind of watch this space to see what TFA comes up with, because it's a very exciting moment for us.
Is there a moment or a story you would like to share that is about the impact of your work? That was like one of those days where you were going in, you were tired, and you met a student that literally surprised everyone, but it made you go on more.
There was a young man called Chris, who is hard of hearing. He's deaf, and he was at Laney, and he'd worked with us for a good couple of years. Beautiful young man, huge grin, big smile, loved music, you know, can feel the pulse of music on a speaker or something, loved to dance, full of energy and joy. And he has an interpreter with him doing sign language all the time. And then one show, we were like, oh, we should learn. We're going to learn to sign. You know, we always end with a big song, like all good pieces of theatre. Let's sign the final song. So, you know, so one day we're all learning the sign. And Chris, he must have been late that day. He walked into the theatre and saw a whole room of people speaking his language. And he just started to cry. And then obviously, I mean, we were all a mess by the end of it, but you can
feel that
for once everyone in this room was speaking his language, and it just helped all of us go, he lives in a world where no one is ever, not no one, but you know,
most people don't take account for it.
Most people aren't speaking his language. Yeah. And to just look around this room and see people going, oh, we want to learn your language for a moment. I mean, it was a really beautiful moment. It was like,
you got me. All right, tell the story. You got me. Like, this is the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an incredible community of such. I mean, and not to sort of like, all people with disabilities are just saints, because it's not that.
Yeah.
You know, we are an adult company.
Yeah.
Oh, we annoy each other. And we, you know, I mean, we've been profoundly lucky for all this time. Our drama has stayed very much on the stage, which is really lucky. But obviously, you know, I love that we're an adult company. We talk about things that every, you know, adults talk about, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And, you know, our people want to fall in love, and they want to do all sorts of things like any of us. So, but, you know, it's just, it's a real honor to just be able to experience a different perspective all the time.
Yeah.
It's humbling.
So what are the barriers to participating in the arts for your participants? Mm. Like, how do you overcome those?
That's a great question. Because, I mean, really, you know, what are the barriers for any minority to be given a voice and heard? Just the people that aren't the minority to stop trying to control or oppress or, you know, wake up to the fact that there's lots of other people in the world that might not look just like you, but, you know, they're valid. They've got stories and talents and passion, and we just need to give a platform and stop this. I mean, I have one of my parents always says, you know, the disability community is like the last battle cry for human rights. It's the largest minority in America, and it's just still shocking at some of the things that are not available to this community.
What are some changes you'd like to see happen in the arts community or here in coastal North Carolina that would help?
I think it's a lot about our audiences, right? And I mean, you know, the work you do, especially here in the South, where that we were used to, I mean, it's not like I've grown up here, but, you know, the people we used to seeing as an artist is this kind of person, right? Blonde, blue-eyed, thin,
and very particular, you know,
to be generic about it or generalizing, but we know what we mean. And I think thanks to work like the work that you do and the work that we're doing and lots of other people like Working Narratives and, you know, some other really interesting companies that are happening here, our audiences are ready. I feel like they're hungry for something different. And that's really exciting. And I mean, I think that's, you know, way beyond Wilmington, that people are like, okay, we know that jam. Let's see something new. And it is really exciting. And let's let people represent themselves.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that. That's one of the things.
It's exciting.
So, how can people get involved and support your work?
Okay. we have, I mean, last year was an amazing year for TFA. We finally received some great funding, which we're very grateful, very, very grateful for. It allowed us to employ some other people, which is huge because I was wearing 8 million hats, as I said, before that. So we now have, we have great social media on Facebook and Instagram. On Instagram, we're Theatre for All NC. And on Facebook, we're Theatre for All. You might, I think our like tagline or it was Diversity Now. But you'll find us if you put in NC. We have our website, theatreforall.org. And on the website, there's ways to donate. There's ways to join the company. There's ways to offer your skills. You know, we have a really beautiful family of volunteers that are having a great time with us. They're loving it. And obviously come and see the shows. Our next show, shameless plug, is the Hannah Block, May 30th, May 31st. Come. Our May 30th show is a donation base, so it's accessible to everyone. It's very important to us. And our May 31st show is, you know, we're fundraising. So that's a $25 ticket. There's the whole pre-show, yum yum food, drinks, a bit of entertainment in the lobby, and then exactly the same show. There's just all that pre-show goodness. We have summer camps, so if, and that's a, our official companies are adult, it's 18 and up, but our summer camp, we've lowered the age to 15. We eventually want to have a whole another Theatre for All company that is for young people. We know it's very much needed, and we can't, you know, it's heartbreaking when people reach out to us and their kids are just not old enough. So we want to get there, and we want our guys will be running that, and I'll be their assistant, but that's a little bit down the line. So yes, lots of ways to get involved. We're all over town these days. We were just at the awards. We were having events in breweries. We just found out we got into the Wilmington Dance Festival for the second year. Ooh.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So that's super exciting.
Well, having you here has been absolutely amazing. And thank you for sharing your time with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to another episode of Somewhere and Elsewhere, listening to Miss Kim Henry. we're reminded that it is important for all voices to be heard.
We've loved hearing about this work today.
Remember, dear listeners, art happens everywhere if you know where to look.
Join us again next time as we share more stories and continue to hear stories from across the coastal North Carolina arts community.
Until then, keep your hearts open, your minds curious, and your spirits adventurous. This is Kevin and Terrell signing off with Somewhere and Elsewhere. Safe travels, fellow arts lovers. Somewhere and Elsewhere is a podcast of Shoresides. Learn more about our work at www.shoresides.org.